Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Phils, by the way, play their third and final game against the Marlins tonight. It is an earlier start, a 6:05 start. So we will have leading off for you right around 5:10, 5:15, something like that. Joining us in moments will be Mike Mayock. If you missed it, we did have Dave Dombrowski on the show at 3 o'clock. You can scroll back in the free Odyssey app using the Rewind feature or subscribe to the Afternoon Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Joining us now, you can hear him on the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. That is the great Mike Mayock. Mike, good to join. Good. Thank you for joining us.
Sure, man. Let's go Phillies, right?
Yes. Yes, let's go Phillies.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
About, blessed to have, what, it would be two good teams at the same time? What? This is not the Philadelphia I grew up in, Mike.
Well, I mean, you can be a little negative, you know.
Oh, but there we go. There we go.
The Sixers still exist?
Yes. They sure do.
It's fun to watch. You know what's interesting is John Middleton, the owner of the team, when I was a sophomore in high school, he was a starting guard on our football team. And,
wow.
And he was just this little scrappy, tough dude who was actually a much better wrestler. He was a great high school wrestler. And I haven't talked to him in years, but I just wish him the best.
John Middleton was a guard on the football team?
Dude, he weighed about 162. And what made it even worse was he started cutting weight at the end of season to get ready for wrestling.
Wow.
Man, I remember I went to Episcopal. I remember the wrestling kids and the cutting weight. I hope they don't do it that way anymore because it seemed pretty dangerous the way that those guys would cut weight. Wrestlers are something else, man.
Yeah, and selfishly, my entire offensive line lost weight at the end of the year every year, and we're getting ready to play Malvern or somebody good, and I'm like, this is just, you know, these guys are wasting away to get ready to drop 20 pounds to wrestle.
So, Mike, we've been sort of asking this very simply to all of the experts we have, and you as somebody who came on the show last week and said to give the offense time. You know, very much, if you want to put Tale of Two Halves in the dictionary and put a football game in there for it, it was that for the Eagles on Sunday. So when you go back and you watch the game, what was the difference between their success in the first half and their success in the second half?
So, you know, watching the tape was intriguing as always. And basically, three of the first seven pass calls in the first half, three of the first seven pass calls, there were two receivers in the exact same area, which means one of them ran the wrong route and is inexcusable, given that in most NFL games, if that happens once, it's too much. But three of the first seven pass calls. And then on the ninth pass call, the center snapped the ball when the entire offensive line was standing up, calling out their pass protections. And they weren't ready to go. Nobody was in a stance. Nobody was ready to go. And the quarterback got lit up. So I look at four of the first nine passes that were called. By the way, there were a total of 12 called. He was 4 for 8 for 17 yards, which we all know is abysmal. But my point would be to start with, four of the first nine had no chance for any quarterback ever born, okay? So I look at that and say, that's an execution problem. It's not a play-calling problem. It's not a quarterback problem. It was poor execution. When Lane Johnson went down and 79 came in, there was another problem that compounded that. Okay? Now we get into the second half, and the first series of the second half is the sack fumble, and that, not coincidentally, was the last play for 79, Matt Pryor. Mm-hmm. Okay? Busted assignment, quarterback gets lit up, ball gets fumbled, it's another touchdown. It's what was the score? 26-7 or whatever at that point.
Yep.
And what's kind of interesting, Spike, is that I'm sitting there watching the game on television, and I take notes. And when it got to that point, I wrote in big letters, could be the best thing that happens to this offense, question mark. And they had, in my mind, it's like a completely different mindset. The offensive coordinator's got to be aggressive, and the quarterback's got to be aggressive, even if guys are covered. Mm-hmm. It's time to push the ball down the field. You got no choice. So they come out and throw a sluggo, a slant and go to AJ. He's covered, but it's a beautiful throw and an even better catch. And the play after that, they throw the tight end seam against cover two, 33-yard touchdown, bang. They're back in this game, and all of a sudden everything changed, didn't it? I mean, it was amazing because the next touchdown drive, they throw it to A.J. Brown in the corner of the end zone, and he boxed out that corner like he was Moses Malone. And they didn't call it, which was awesome. And you could just see A.J. Brown puffing up, like, keep feeding me, right? And, mm-hmm. and the quarterback's trusting him. And they get to the final scoring drive, 3rd and 10, plus 26, A.J. Brown. 3rd and 10, plus 23, A.J. Brown. Both of those, he was covered. But the quarterback trusted him enough to throw it to him. He came back, out-muscled the guy. This is a big body, strong-handed guy, and Jalen's got to feed him. Okay, even when he's covered, he's got to feed him. And the kid made plays, made catches, made people miss, and it gets down there, and Devontae Smith scores the touchdown. They win a football game, and they were forced to be aggressive. Big body throws to number 11. You know, Devontae Smith was open, and when you ask me, you know, how did the quarterback play, I thought there was one play in the first half. I think it was the second play that was called. Had he hung in the pocket and been patient, the dig came open late, but he had already left the pocket. And in the second half, candidly, I thought there were four or five different plays where he could have either gotten out quicker or hung in there longer, depending on what the defense was. So he could have been a little bit better. But the bottom line is they did what you guys wanted and what I wanted, which is they gave their playmakers opportunities to make plays. And they only did it because they had to.
Yeah, that's what's going to be interesting about this week, Mike, coming up is how do they approach this game? Do they approach this game with at least – and I'm not saying they need to come out and throw the ball the first 10 plays of the game. You got Saquon back there. You're going to give him his opportunities to touch the ball. And you want to always keep down and distance manageable. So you're not just going to abort the running game, but – this isn't just from a play calling standpoint. I'm also speaking about Jalen. When those opportunities are there, I'm hoping that they can build off from a confidence standpoint what they saw Sunday going into this next Sunday and moving forward, that those opportunities are there. You just got to give those guys a chance to make plays.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles game this week is the most intriguing game on the calendar for that reason, Ike. I mean, the bottom line is, can you take what you did last week and build on it? And to be honest with you, if you're looking at Tampa Bay, and I just watched some of their tape, and you know, they're really stout against the run. That number 50 is a monster in the middle, Vita Vea.
Vita Vea, yeah.
don't care how old he gets, he's a monster. I don't think the Eagles' offensive line is playing at the level we've seen it play at, and I think they'll get it right, because I trust the coach, and some of it's about personnel, and Lane Johnson was out, and, you know, Fred Johnson came in and stabilized things, but he wasn't Lane Johnson, trust me. So some of it's about the offensive line. But at the end of the day, if I think they ought to come out and attack Tampa Bay in the air, okay? Tampa's stout against the run. They're like sixth or seventh in the league. They give up a lot of yards in the pass. I don't think they can hang with the Eagles' wideouts. You know, Jamel Dean is a pretty solid player, and McCollum's okay, but really where they cause problems are with their blitz scheme. and Todd Bowles blitzes as much, if not more, than anybody in the league. And here's my concern is it's hard to block complicated blitz schemes, especially when they're lining 7 and 8 up across the front, and you got to guess which 5 are coming, and they're coming from all 3 levels. And the Eagles have not done well with that this year so far. Okay? So I get nervous about that, but I also believe that their wideouts can win. I hope they won. They learned a lesson. I would love to see them come out throwing the ball down the field, trusting number 11 to make plays. I thought Greg Olsen, the commentator, did a great job last week talking about as the Eagles threw the ball in the second half, you could see more space open up for the run game.
Yeah,
and that's true. It works both ways. You can throw, you can run to set up the pass, and you can pass to set up the run. And at the end of the day, I remember talking to Bill Cowher years ago when he had Roethlisberger, and they always were in the top of the league in running the football. And he said, Mike, I want to throw it early. I want to throw it early and often. I want to get the lead. I want my defense then to come after their quarterback, and I want to run the hell out of the football in the second half. And to me, that's kind of the big game plan to beat Tampa Bay, is come out throwing the football, get some points on the board, get some confidence going offensively, and then as they're forced to back off a little bit, after you've heated them up, then you get a big dose of 26. And I kind of like that plan.
Mike, it seems like from the coaches to the quarterback too, I think us as a fan base have gotten into this mode where the only way that you can prevent turnovers is by not throwing the ball hardly at all. And it just doesn't seem to add up when you look at, you know, we were going through Jalen's year in 2022, and I think he had 6 interceptions or however many it was, the same as he had last year. He didn't have a game where he threw the ball less than 27 times. And throwing the ball a little bit more does not necessarily mean that you're going to turn the ball over. You know, you get 20 interceptions that year. There is a balance, and it seems like for one reason or another, maybe it's just because of the success that Saquon had last year, that they sort of lost the idea of the balance of risk to a certain extent.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And what I was trying to say to you a little bit last week is that every team's different every year. And even though the identity of the Eagles a year ago that took them to a Super Bowl was Saquon Barkley running the football first and foremost, and it truly was that team's identity. I told you last week, I don't know what this team's identity is yet. And, you know, to me, balance is critical. I mean, that's what Tampa Bay is good at offensively, to be honest with you. They got really good balance. And a really good quarterback. But to your point, it's not always about throwing it more. It's about being efficient with when you throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're throwing everything within a 10-yard radius of the line of scrimmage, you're effectively turning the whole field into a red zone. Okay?
Yep.
And as a former defensive back, I know that feeling. When you get a really conservative offense, and they can't put – it's usually with a team that doesn't have wideouts that can run. But it was kind of fun watching in the second half as the Rams had to back off a little bit, play 2 high safeties, play more conservative back there. It was a different game plan for them in the second half, and that's because they were able to push the ball vertically down the field. And I'm telling you, some of the throws he made to A.J. were beautiful because he was really – covered.
Yep.
And AJ made him look good and eight because he trusted him. You know, he protected his quarterback, in other words.
Well, and there is something, too, when you're down 20 points, you can't worry about turning the ball over. You just have to worry about scoring points. And I think whatever apprehension maybe they had about doing that, they had to throw caution to the wind to get back in the football game. And to your point, hopefully they discovered something and they're able to do some of that this week. Before we let you go, the defense, you know, the Rams moved the ball really, really well. They ran the ball really, really well. Vic Fangio has blitzed a lot, which has not been his MO since he's been here because they haven't been able to get pressure on the quarterback. You know, Vic Fangio is a great defensive coordinator. You have to wonder if they're limited from a personnel standpoint on the defense to be able to be, you know, the defense we saw last year. What are you seeing from the defense so far?
A lot of yards, not as many points. The kind of the hallmark of an efficient defense. 1-for-4 in the red zone, which is probably why they won the game even more than the Eagles' pass game, is that the Rams were 1-for-4. That red zone tape was fun to watch, to be honest with you. I mean, Blankenship came up with a play on 17. What's his face? What's that?
Davante Adams.
Yeah, they got a great matchup, 1-on-1, ran a double move in the end zone on third down, and Blankenship raked it out. The red zone defense saved them. I think that rookie linebacker, as good as he is still developing. Same with 24 Makuba, you know, as far as run fits are concerned. I think there's some concerns injury-wise this week, and hopefully they're getting their guys back. I heard Baum and Campbell were out there today. We could be seeing Keely Ringo at some point, right? Adoree Jackson did not practice yesterday. The other kid got put on IR, and then Nolan Smith is gone. And Nolan Smith was becoming a good run defender. So thank goodness that Darius Smith was signed. We'll probably see a little more Josh Uche. Tampa, to your point, they're balanced, and that's the hardest thing. And their run game's downhill. It's really physical. When they play three defensive linemen, Spike, when they get 90, 98, and typically a Jomo in there with them, they're hard to move. It'll be interesting to see how much they're in that set.
So what do you think happens on Sunday? Eagles going to win this? Or, you know, Tampa's got our number, man. They've got our number. What do you think?
Yeah, Tampa has had the number. You know, I still think the Eagles have a better team. I think a big thing for Tampa is if they get Tristan Wirfs back, their left tackle, then they can kick the left tackle back to center, Graham Barton, where he belongs. And they get better at both places. If they get Wirfs back, this game's gonna, I think, gonna be a tough game. So I like the Eagles in a close game, but again, like Ike said, it all comes down to me. I can't wait to see if they're aggressive pushing the ball down the field.
All right, Mike. Thank you as always. We will talk to you 4 o'clock the very same day on Thursday. Thanks as always, Mike.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks.
Yep. There he is, Mike Mayock. You can get more of Mike with the Believe in Eagles podcast, 215-592-9494. What?
How about Mayo?
What?
Yeah. Aggressive. Throw the ball.
Yeah, throw the ball.
Throw the ball.
Throw the ball.
Like Ike said.
Yes, like Ike said. He's the only one that said it. Yeah. The show. Yep.
Unbelievable.
And if you disagree with it, I said it.
Yep.
That wasn't a Mayock comment. That was another people comment. Now, we have a new sort of feature on the show, a new regular caller, and that is Fake Stats Connor.
Now, hey, y'all.
Hey, Fake Stats Connor.
Hey, y'all.
Now, Connor is a stats guy, is a better, is a prop guy. You know, cost me $20 last week, Fake Stats Connor, with your...
cost everybody in the Delaware Valley $20
last week. Well, to be clear, FanDuel did not open it up, so that's why I'm not giving out defense anymore. And I didn't make Jack the money, right?
No, he did. We were on Dalton Kincaid and James Cook.
You were getting private picks?
I got private texts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We broke the scandal.
Yes.
It is a bit of a scandal, and that's why I'm giving out touchdowns today.
Okay.
To make up for it. I like Trey McBride tonight at +180, but the really spicy one I like for this weekend is Baker Mayfield. He should just not be +700 against us. We know he's a scrambler. He scored literally the last time he played us. He's scrambling even more this year. I think you guys didn't mention he's actually had a slight biceps injury. So I think if he's out there, he's going to be scrambling even more. So for plus 700, it's purely an odds play. And I played it for half a unit. I love that for this weekend. So.
Okay. So you like Baker Mayfield to score a touchdown and you, and tonight you like Trey McBride
to score a touchdown. I do like versus the zone defenses that Seattle runs, which they run a lot of cover 3 and 4. I also like his receptions tonight at 6.5. You can get that at even money. So he's actually beat them for that, covered his line 7 and 12 receptions the last two times he's played the Seattle defense. So he's really primed for a prime matchup. I'm actually surprised it's plus money for the receptions, but I like receptions and touchdown for tonight. Yeah, for sure.
You know what that smells for me?
What?
I'm taking 2 touchdowns.
Oh, that's...
Come on, man. That's what we do.
Okay, all right. So now that I have you, Fake Stats Counter, can I have you talk to Ike and Jack about they will only bet if they're getting... plus 300, plus 400.
They, there you go.
Plus 500.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't get out of bed for plus 180.
I can't get these guys are this long shot city
over.
You gotta
cover your bets, man. You gotta cover. So what I did, and it kills me that I can't give out defense, because literally, of course, the bet that I give out to Spike, the guy I've been listening to for 7 years, the first bet he takes, he loses. The next bet I take, I crush with Fred Warner at minus 145.
Minus 145.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Yeah, they won't bet
minus
145.
I know, but it covered my bets. It covered my entire
slate of bets.
It's
not about making money. It's about having fun.
It should be about making sure you don't lose all of your money.
Well, Connor,
that's why I talk about unit size and everything.
Connor,
I didn't know size mattered.
Yeah, yeah. Unit size. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, for a couple of us here, that's bad news. That loss.
I almost got a 10-incher.
Losing that bet, I can't pay my mortgage this month. Connor.
Oh, yeah. That's the 2020 call. They want their joke back. But every gambler has been making that joke since gambling has been legal.
Wow.
Around.
Wow.
Little chesty fake stats, Connor.
Every single time. I saw the YouTube comments in the next day, and they're like, well, he probably should have just taken. I did take the wrong linebacker. I had the right game script. I took the wrong linebacker. He dodged him the whole time. So. I called the game script. Time of possession was in there, and I gave Kincaid out to big old Jackie.
Wow. All right. Yeah, so once again, your plays are Trey McBride for a touchdown tonight. Trey McBride plus 6.5 receptions you had?
Yeah, 6.5 receptions. I like receptions. I apologize if you heard that. Receptions tonight at plus money. I like Baker Mayfield plus 700. And if I can squeeze one last one, Saquon receiving yards this year. Every starting running back versus Bucks this year, I've covered their receiving yard lines, and I think he's primed for it. And he's also covered the last two years versus them.
Okay. All right, Fake Stats Connor.
Like it.
Great work. There he is, Fake Stats Connor. 0 for 1 officially, even though he gave Jack a winner privately. They don't count unless they're on the air, right?
Well, of course not.
Yes,
I
okay.
I totally agree.
All right, all right. 215-592-9494. A little Phil's close up with the Marlins tonight. Get a little high hopes, Jackie Baseball Report next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.